Good day, everyone, and welcome to Advocates Frame, the Immigration State of Play. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have an opportunity to ask questions during the question-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone phone. I will be standing by should you need any assistance. Please note, this call may be recorded. It is now my pleasure to turn the program over to Jess Morales-Ricardo.
Thank you so much, Emma. Hi, everyone. My name is Jess Morales-Ricardo. I am the Executive Director of CARE in Action and the Civic Engagement Director at the National Domestic Workers Alliance. I represent the 2.5 million nannies, housekeepers, and elder care workers that provide the care in our homes. And I'm just delighted to be moderating this call today. If you've been on calls with us before, you know we try to keep it lively and moving so that you're not bored and we're not bored. So hopefully this will be a great day, a great way to start your day. I will give really quick remarks, and then we will hear from Lorella Prielli, Grayson Martinez, and Gustavo Torres, three of the most incredible civil rights leaders in this country and three of the people who are absolutely leading us to a historic victory for immigrants this year. You know, we can sort of feel the press corps sharpening their knives to write our obituary. So this is us a call to set the record straight for our friends and our frenemies. So if you're doing that, please listen up. Here's what we know right now about immigration in Congress. We're waiting on the parliamentarian second ruling and feeling optimistic about our chances. And that is because our champions have really vowed to fight with us this year, whatever it takes. We have been very clear about our demand. This is the year that we pass relief for millions of people. Our movement is stronger than ever, and our goal, our North Star, our firm commitment is to keep fighting until we win citizenship for the 11 million undocumented people in this country. And if there's a chance to protect and legalize millions of people this year, we will pursue it. We fought back against Donald Trump for years on his signature issue, so honestly, we welcome the chance to turn all of that energy into actually passing policies that will make a difference for the millions of people that we represent. But make no mistake, this is not the 2010 immigration fight. When we say our movement is stronger, we have grown and matured and sharpened all of the tools in our toolbox. For many of us, we put those folks into office. I, for one, will never forget the late nights running one of the largest IEs in the Georgia runoff that ultimately put Warnock and Ossoff in office, as well as major efforts in states like Arizona, Michigan, North Carolina, and South Carolina. And my counterparts today can speak to the millions of voters that we have collectively mobilized that put Democrats in the majority and Biden-Harris in the White House. We didn't do that for them. We did that for our people. And our people, the voters who put them into office, and the people who, even though they cannot vote, mobilized for Democrats have rose with one voice to say that President Biden, Vice President Harris, Leader Schumer, and Speaker Pelosi need to use their majority to keep their promise of a breakthrough this year. They have told us that they care about immigrants, and now we need them to deliver for the millions of families who need relief and recovery. On that note, I want to turn it over to my esteemed colleague, one of our amazing fearless leaders, Lorella Prielli, the co-president of Community Change and Community Change Action. Lorella.
Thank you so much, sister. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lorella Prielli. I am co-president of Community Change Action, home to the Firm Network, the nation's largest network of grassroots organizations fighting for immigrant justice. And my esteemed colleague, fearless warrior Gustavo Torres with Casa de Maryland, a partner and part of the Firm Network, also on this call. So I'm really excited to get in there with you all. So from the beginning of the year, we have been fighting for a path to citizenship for millions of undocumented immigrants. In fact, in the very beginning of the year, we shifted from our all or nothing approach, and we were very clear. There was one important opportunity this year, and that was to get it done via reconciliation. But the only things that were really moving in Congress were on a 50-vote threshold. We were clear with the White House. We were clear with Democratic leadership, and everyone came around and embraced this as a demand. Also, from the beginning of the year, we have said that there are simply no participation trophies. There are no good faith attempts. We tried, we campaigned on it. You see us doing a good faith effort without delivery. So this is so important today because there are a lot of questions about what is going to happen. And we are resolved. We are unstoppable. Firm has been mobilizing alongside our partners in the We Are Home campaign and the broader movement for social justice to deliver concrete change in people's lives this year. That means investments in care and climate and housing and jobs and citizenship. For millions of undocumented immigrants, this means green cards. It means work authorization and relief from the daily fear of detention and deportation. And we are so, so clear that Democrats have the power to make it happen. So today we're restating our demands and our expectations, which is to legalize millions this year via reconciliation. One, we respectfully disagree with the parliamentarian's opinion on green cards. The language we've put forth comports with Senate rules on reconciliation. 92 law professors and many other experts agree with us. Democrats have promised legalizations for years, so it is long past time for them to deliver. Now, I'm going to be honest with y'all. They can do it through the parliamentarian, or they can do it by disregarding her advisory opinions and affirming that legalization does not run afoul of the Byrd Rule. Either way, we expect them to deliver. The futures of millions of people, DACA holders, immigrant youth, TPS recipients, farm workers, and other essential workers, longtime residents of the United States are on the line. So Senate Democrats are going to be presenting a Plan C soon. It will be the third test of the parliamentarian. And if she continues to thwart the aspirations of millions, then it is imperative that Senate Democrats bypass the parliamentarian's advisory opinion and use the majority we help them win to deliver the transformational change they promised. So we are really moving a two-track approach here. Exhaust the options with the parliamentarian, test out Plan C, and if she remains hostile on this issue, then be prepared to deliver for us by bypassing her advisory opinion and understand that we will hold you accountable if you don't. I'm going to wrap up by saying that there's a great piece by David Danyon and the American Prospect really talking about the case for deliverism. 70% of voters support a pathway to citizenship. Democrats have been talking about delivering this for decades. So they should not be surprised when they talk about it, voters hear about it, and end up being fed up with promises when they fail to deliver. So if we want our people to go out to the polls in Virginia this year, on the ground next year for the 2022 elections, for the 2024 presidential elections, then it's long past time for them to actually deliver. Thank you, Jess.
Thank you so much, Lorella. So appreciate your delightful wonkiness at literally all times, dropping an American Prospect reference at 10:44 in the morning. Jess, what a gem. It is my absolute pleasure now to welcome Grayson Martinez, the Executive Director of United We Dream and United We Dream Action. And if we're lucky, she'll sing for us this morning. But I have a feeling no matter what, we're going to leave feeling great. Grayson, take it away.
Thank you, Jess, and good morning. Buenos dias, everyone. My name is Grace Martinez Rosas, and I have the honor of serving as the Executive Director of United We Dream and United We Dream Action. We are the nation's largest network of undocumented immigrant youth. Thank you to our partners on the call with Community Change in Action, CASA, and Care in Action. You know, right now, we are on the verge of delivering relief for millions of undocumented people, something that hasn't happened on this scale this large in over three decades. This moment did not happen by accident. It's thanks to the courage and vision of Black women in Georgia, to the young organizers in Arizona. It is thanks to the tenacity and relentless energy of immigrants and our allies who created this once-in-a-generation opportunity for Democrats to break through the stalemates in Congress and finally deliver relief for undocumented people. Organizers and directly impacted people like the members of United We Dream Action have been working all year to create the conditions to win. We have bravely shared our stories. We've driven millions of calls to Democratic offices and the White House We've put our bodies on the line to demonstrate the urgency of this moment for millions. We've shown the public and Democrats what's at stake if they don't deliver, because our lives are on the line. If Democrats don't provide immigration relief this year, they are choosing to leave millions of undocumented people vulnerable to detention, deportation, and family separation. Immigrant youth of United We Dream are no strangers to unapologetically leading in moments of uncertainty like these. When the 2010 DREAM Act failed to pass due to 5 Democratic votes, President Obama told us that there was nothing that he could do to stop deportations of immigrant young people and our families. We refused to take no for an answer, and we delivered the victory of DACA. During the Trump years, we were told by the media, by pundits, by legislators that there was no way that DACA would survive Trump's attacks. We did not take no for an answer, and we defended DACA and delivered a historic win at the Supreme Court. When Republicans again refused to come to the table, and Democrats in Congress told us earlier this year that they did not have the 60 votes for their citizenship bill, we did not take no for an answer, and we pushed back to make it clear that they could deliver the reconciliation with 51 votes. We will not take no for an answer because our lives are at stake. We have been clear from the beginning. Democrats, President Biden, Vice President Harris, the Senate Majority Leader Schumer, and Speaker Pelosi have all the power to deliver. They are in charge, no one else. And when Americans voted in 2020, the names on the ballot were Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. They are responsible for delivering for their party this year. Every option is on the table. Democrats must leave no stone unturned as they find a way to deliver on the promises their party has been making to Latinos, to young immigrants like myself, and millions of Americans in this country for the past 35 years. We expect Democrats to deliver relief for millions of immigrants through reconciliation. No excuses. Ya es hora. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Grace. I am feeling fired up. No excuses. And if you've ever been at a protest at United We Dream, you know they're not playing around. Yes, amazing. Gustavo Torres, the executive director of CASA and the president of CASA in Action. Gustavo, you are a veteran of these fights, and so I cannot wait to hear from you. Please take it away.
Thank you so much. And again, my name is Gustavo Torres, the executive director of CASA and president of CASA in Action. We know, because we fought for many, many years, that it's time for citizenship. Democrats control the Senate, the House of Representatives, and the White House, because we put them right over there. We mobilize millions of people to make sure that them control both, again, the Senate, the House, and the White House. We expect them to use every tool at their disposal to deliver on the promise of path to citizenship for 11 million undocumented immigrants. Democratic leadership has the opportunity to change the lives of millions of immigrants who have served faithfully to the pandemic, and now is the time to deliver. We will leave no stone unturned in our drive to protect as many people as possible with the best protections available this year. We will not go home empty-handed, and we will not by Democrats hiding behind a staff attorney's advisory opinion. There are multiple ways for a victory. We truly believe that right now the public is with us. More than 70% of Americans strongly support creating pathway to citizenship for undocumented immigrants. We again and again refuse to walk away empty-handed. This is the year. This is the opportunity that we have, and we truly believe that the Democratic leadership can deliver this year for our communities and for our families. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Gustavo, and for everything that you do every single day. Okay, Emma, do we have any questions? I want to turn it over to questions. I'm sure you all are burning with questions to ask.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your touch-tone phone. You may remove yourself from the queue at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, that is star and one to ask a question. We will pause a moment to allow questions to queue. And we'll take our first question from Ellen Gilmore with Bloomberg.
Hey, everyone. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on the prospect of humanitarian parole being an option for Plan C, whether A, that's what's in the plan, and B, what you think of that as, you know, offering work authorization and protection from deportation, but not permanent status. How do you feel if that's the option moving forward?
Hi, Ellen. Thanks for the question. I'm going to move that to Lorella, and then Griffin and Gustavo, if you all want to jump in, feel free.
Thank you, Jess. Can you ask the question again, please?
Yeah, the question is if humanitarian parole is an option that lawmakers are pursuing as their Plan C instead of a pathway to citizenship or permanent legal status, is that acceptable to you as kind of the backup option they're on at this point?
I think a lot of it depends on the details of what the parole language would look like, but we are committed to delivering for people this year. So we're holding a both and strategy here. They are going to go back to the parliamentarian with an option that is likely to be parole. Right? Like, that's one thing that they are pursuing. And if the parliamentarian signs off on that, then that is going to move forward via reconciliation as part of the overall package. If she once again, for the third time, decides that we are not pursuing, that we're not able to make any changes in immigration via reconciliation, then our expectation is that Democrats use every power and all their power and every lever to deliver for people this year. So I'm answering your question. I know you asked me like one question, but I think it's really important to be able to hold both in this moment. Both, yes, exhaust the policy option with the parliamentarian. If the parliamentarian does not greenlight this, appreciate, as Gustavo said, that this is a staff attorney's advisory opinion. And we look to you as the leaders in the Senate, as Graysa and Gustavo and Jess have all said, we elected you. We did not elect the parliamentarian. So I believe that we can do both of those things at this moment.
Thanks so much.
We'll take our next question from Quinn Owen with ABC News.
Hi,
Hi. Hello. Thanks for holding the call. So I'm just trying to make sense of the strategy here. If the humanitarian parole option is rejected by the parliamentarian, is the only option then to advocate for the parliamentarian's removal? And at that point, would, you know, the strategy be to then revert back to the initial request of the parliamentarian? Because it seems like this is heading in the direction of, you know, not getting the full, you know, pathway to citizenship as it was originally presented. Could you just clarify that, please?
Yeah, thanks for the question. Graysa?
Yeah, so I want to say a couple of things here. We are super clear that the first option that we present parliamentarian on Dream, Promise, Farm Workers, and Essential Workers was something that was reconcilable, and we respectfully disagree with her initial decision of saying no to that. We then took to her reconciliation. We believe that that was reconcilable, and we again respectfully disagree with her opinion. So as we go and as Democrats decide to go a third time into this Plan C, what is clear for advocates, documented people like myself, is that we will leave no stone unturned. And what we mean when we say that is, one, that there are The parliamentarian is not a decision maker. The decision maker is key on what goes into the bill that is reconcilable or not. It are the senators and the presiding officers. We, as the letter with the 92 law professors lays out, there is precedent and there's also a process in which can and must deliver citizenship for millions of people. And all we're asking for is simple. If your staff attorney and the staff person in your team disagrees with the position that you hold of including citizenship for millions of undocumented people, then all you have to do is move forward with your own power and your own procedures to deliver that piece. And so in terms of policy, we want as much protection for as many people as possible, and we are prepared to ensure that every Democrat leaves no stone unturned, including ignoring the advice of the parliamentarian.
Can I mention additional comments about that? Because this is a very, very important issue, and thank you for the question. As we mentioned, the parliamentarian is a civil servant, and we want to be respectful of the role that she's playing, absolutely. But, you know, we know that she serves at the pleasure of the Democratic leadership. At the end of the day, Vice President Kamala Harris, acting as President Officer of the Senate, can make an independent decision about whatever a pathway to citizenship or any another potential legal opportunities our families have to include as a part of the reconciliation bill. This is a question of political will, not Senate procedure. Thank you.
I want to answer both here, and then I want to go back to Ellen's question for a second, because I feel like I didn't address sort of humanitarian parole correctly, and I want to get that right on the record. So just quickly, as both Grace and Gustavo have said, like, there's an appeal process that is available to the Senate, to Senate Democrats, and that's to bypass the parliamentarian. It can be the vice president. It can be done by another presiding officer. It's been done in the past, and it would take 60 votes to overturn her or their ruling. And so, again, I would say emphasis here is every time that Democrats have power, like they did in 2010, and then they did not get the DREAM Act done, like they do now, but then maybe are not going to get immigration done. Every time that they do that, voters lose confidence in their ability to deliver. So their promise, it just ends up being empty at the end of the day, and that's a choice they're going to have to make. On parole quickly, Ellen, I wanted to clarify, right, like the parole authority in the INA has been used for many different purposes historically. It can be used to bring people into the country, and it can also be used to protect people who are already here. So the proposal that Democrats, I believe, are considering would provide work authorization and temporary protection from deportation for about 7 million people. And we don't refer to it as humanitarian parole. We call it parole in place because people are already in the country. So I just wanted to clarify that for background.
Thank you so much.
If I could just follow up.
Yes, of course. Go ahead.
So it seems like, though, that's still a compromise. And I just want to clarify, is the position that the parliamentarian can't be replaced without 60 votes, or that the parliamentarian is a staff person who serves at the will of the majority and could be replaced through another means?
Well, Brisa, we're going to do, go ahead. Sorry, I'll step back. Brisa, go ahead.
Yes, so this is Grace with EWD. We are not asking for the parliamentarian to be replaced. We're simply asking that when a staff person that works for Senate Democratic leadership does not, and we believe erroneously does not agree with the fact that protections for people are reconcilable, that it is her boss's prerogative and their boss's prerogative to disagree and use their power, the Democrats have, to include citizenship and protection for undocumented people. So we are not calling for the replacement of the parliamentarian. We're calling for every option to be exhausted and for every stone to be unturned, including the possibility of ignoring her opinion.
Got it. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Grace. Yeah, thank you so much for the question. Any more questions?
Once again, that is star one to ask a question, and we will take our next question from Joel Rose with NPR.
Hi, can you guys hear me? Thank you for holding the call. Yeah, okay, good. I understand the argument that Senate Democrats could ignore the parliamentarian, but I think politically that would be challenging for them. I'm sure they would say that. I guess the question is, should they do that going into an election year when they are, when their majority is very much fragile, let's say? Is it wise for them to ignore the parliamentarian politically?
Yeah, I'll take honorary privilege and just answer really quickly and then turn it over. But I would say two reactions to you, Joel. One is, it would be very difficult for Democrats to take that step, but it is also more difficult for millions of families to exist for yet another year, waiting for relief that has been promised to them by those same Democrats for decades at this point. And when you take the pandemic and the fact that it has affected our communities more than many others, when you take the fact that many of our folks, like the domestic workers that I represent, have basically been out of work for the entire pandemic. I'll never forget the worker who showed us literally one penny in her bank account because she wasn't able to go to work because of the pandemic. And when you think about the fact that despite relief packages being passed by Democrats, which were excellent, many of them did not include immigrants over and over again. This has never been more needed than it has now. And that's not even to say of the 4 years that immigrants were under attack in the Trump administration. So although I am sympathetic to the challenges that Democrats face at this moment, I believe firmly that the challenges that immigrant families face at this moment can no longer wait. And in fact, they have been waiting all of this time. And I think it's not just enough that Democrats talk about caring about immigrants in our families, but actually that they deliver for us. And what I would offer just from a political standpoint as well is that we can no longer be assured of a Democratic majority without the rising American electorate, many of whom are in mixed status families. Millions of families are mixed status that include American citizen families and undocumented people. Those people vote. And when they become citizens, these immigrants will also vote. And we're going to be the people who are turning them out. We're going to be the people who are making sure that they're able to, know what's going on. And we're going to be the people who make sure that they know who to vote for. Our interests are not of the Democratic Party. Our interests are for immigrant families and for the people that we represent. And they have been waiting. And if they continue to wait, the fact that Democrats believe that there might not be consequences for that electorally, is just like completely ridiculous. I don't know if anybody else wants to take that.
I just want to, it's Gustavo here. I'm totally in agreement with you. I mean, we need to speak about the people who have been suffering for years, and in particular to this pandemic. And we know that one more time that the politics and the political power are behind us. More than 70% of Americans strongly support creating pathways to citizenship for undocumented immigrants. And that is the reason why we say that, the Vice President Kamala Harris, acting as presiding officer of the Senate, can make an independent decision about whatever a pathway to citizenship can be included in the reconciliation bill. It's that simple. We expect and we respect the parliamentarian role, absolutely. But at the same time, we recognize that key work for the Democratic leadership. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I think the real question is, I think the real question is whether Democrats believe that they can afford to not deliver this year. When you are seeing Biden's ratings among Latino voters slipping closer or beneath 50%, as the latest Quinnipiac poll says, when you are seeing not only on immigration, but on all progressive matters, both the strength of the progressive caucus, as well as the real looming threat of a Trump administration in the next 4 years in the Trump campaign. Can they really afford to not deliver to a key part of the electorate? I think it's the question that Joe Biden, that Chuck Schumer in his upcoming 2022 election, that people all across the country are going to be asking themselves. And so that's on the political. And then on the people, which is the what was really at stake here, is we cannot leave undocumented people at the grips of ICE and CBP. We have seen the images of how refugees and Black, Haitian, and Central American people are being treated by these agencies. And every single day that Democrats refuse to use the full-throated power to deliver protections for millions of undocumented people are days where undocumented women, our children, Black immigrants, queer young people are put into detention centers and bars. And so, no, we cannot wait. No, we cannot wait another single day for Democrats to do it. And we actually don't believe that it's that difficult. They have all the power to do it. 70% of Americans want them to deliver. It's really simple. And I think that it will require for politicians to borrow from the courage of the CASA members that went out during a pandemic to knock on doors in Virginia, of the members of Make the Road New York that are doing that in the state of New York, to borrow from our grassroots courage and deliver for people.
Thank you so much. Any other questions?
We will take another question from Ellen Gilmer with Bloomberg.
Hi, Ellen.
Hey, thanks for letting me do another one. I know that this coalition is focused on legalization and, you know, laser focused on those issues, but do you have a position on the measures that the House lawmakers were looking at regarding green card backlogs for documented immigrants here in state?
Lorella, you want to take that one?
Yeah, I mean, I can do like a quick top line on this, which is that we are, like, the campaign's main focus, as you said, Ellen, has really been on legalization. But we believe that many things need to be tackled in our system. The backlogs, we need to dismantle our enforcement apparatus. We need to do an across-the-board reform of our immigration system. So that's a little bit maybe less specific than your question, but there are many things that can get done. There are things that can be done via reconciliation and things that need to be done outside of reconciliation because we need a wholesale reform to our immigration system.
Okay, thanks.
There are no further questions at this time. I will turn the program back over to the presenters for any closing remarks.
Thank you so much. Okay, Gustavo, let me start with you. If you have any closing remarks you wanted to share to leave the good folks with.
No, thank you very much. Again, we are going to keep fighting for citizenship. We are going to be ready to stand with our families and with our communities. We believe that this is the year. We believe that it is very, very important that the Democratic Party, who is in power, deliver for our families and for our community. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gustavo. And Lorella.
I double down on what Gustavo said. There are no participation trophies this year. You are in power. Use your power. Remember who elected you and why you have a majority in this moment. And I will toss to Graysa for you, Jess.
The members of United We Dream and United We Dream Action are resolute in delivering protection for our people and abolishing ICE and CBP and ensuring that this democracy works for each and every one of us. And so as we go into the coming weeks, there will be many moments of confusion, I'm sure. There will be many moments of lack of clarity in this moment, but what will be undeniable is that the courage, the vision, and the wisdom of undocumented people, of the people on this call, of the members of the We Are Home campaign and all across the country will be super set on ensuring that Democrats use every single ounce of their power to deliver or be held accountable to it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Grisa. In case you didn't hear it the first time or the fifth time, I just want to be clear that the National Domestic Workers Alliance and Care in Action, we join our counterparts in making sure that we will leave no stone unturned in our drive to protect as many people as possible with the best protections available this year. We will not go home empty-handed, and we will not stand by if Democrats hide behind a staff attorney's advisory opinion. There are multiple paths to victory, and we will explore every single one of them. Thank you so much to all of you for coming. Thank you to Grisa, Gustavo, and Lorella. Thank you to the folks who set this up. Deeply appreciative of our friends at America's Voice today and always, and hope you all have a wonderful rest of the week. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jess. Thanks, everyone.